Such beautiful music. Welcome back to Tanglewood and our live broadcast. I'm Joe Donahue with Alan Chartok. As the season begins at Tanglewood, we speak to a man who not only is keeping the plate spinning here, he also has an eye on Boston and is even working on programming for future years here at Tanglewood.
Well, I love this guy. Tony Fogg has been artistic administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra since 1994. He assists the music director in his planning and selection of all BSO concerts and repertoire. He's terrific.
Pianist by training, he is one of our favorites to chat with, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Tony Fogg back to our Tanglewood Roundtable. How are you, sir?
Very well. Always great to see both of you, and I'm not sure that I can match the liveliness of your previous guests.
You're always good. You're always good. Don't put yourself down. You're terrific. So have you been traveling the world?
A little bit, yeah. We had
How many days?
Stop.
Right, okay. I stepped into that one.
Go ahead.
No, as part of my work, I'm often in other places in the world listening to performances or meetings or seeing our music director at large, so to speak. So,
and talk a little bit about that relationship. And this is his third season, Andres Nelsons, who, again, we'll be speaking with in our next hour, that his third season. So talk about the maturation of that relationship as you get to know each other and how that bond is forming and get to really have a working relationship that works for you and, of course, works for him.
Well, look, Andres and I spend a lot of time together, and we've increasingly spent time together over the last couple of years as we've been working on our many recording projects for Deutsche Grammophon and for the BSO's own label, BSO Classic. So we spend literally hours together in the editing studio just listening to playbacks of performances and edits and so on. And so we've sort of got an unspoken language at this point where we only need to look at each other and we know what each other's
thinking. Like an eyebrow going up.
We've got an eyebrow or a frown or whatever. But over the last few years, I've got to know better his musical tastes, how he thinks about programming, the types of artists he likes to work with, and generally just his sort of emotional approach to making music. He's very much a collaborative artist. The soloists he works with, he likes to feel a personal connection. Håkan, who you just had here, is one of the longest collaborators in Andres's conducting career. And to see the chemistry between them, as it is with Tom, is really quite astonishing. So he's a sort of, you know, an artist who needs to feel a personal connection, and that's a very important part of his music making. But this summer, of course, he's here for nearly 6 weeks in a dozen different performances. And this was something that we were working towards. One of the challenges, frankly, when Andres started was that he had some commitments to conduct at the Bayreuth Festival in Germany, the Great Wagner Festival, and that, frankly, was a little challenge in terms of how we could manage to schedule him for the amount of time that we wanted to have. But as chances happened, he decided that he didn't want to continue that relationship, so we have the great pleasure of having him here for an extended period in which he's already, you know, done some amazing work. The great brass concert we had last Sunday morning, where, as you mentioned earlier, Alan, he played as well as conducted. He's been coaching the TMC fellows, conducting class. He's been rehearsing with them for this Monday's performance in Ozawa Hall. He's been rehearsing the BSO in two different programs. He's been doing a lot of press interviews and meeting with donors and so on. So he's already fully immersed, and he's done a huge amount. And we've still got all of these performances to go, including next weekend, which I think will be one of the highlights of the season, which is a concert performance of Wagner's Das Rheingold, the first of the operas of the Ring Cycle, which is a mammoth undertaking, about 2 hours, 20 minutes playing time, and music which is not in the BSO's regular working repertoire, so it's a huge undertaking for our musicians. They've been doing private preparation for weeks, but Andres is going to marshal these great forces, and he's a very distinguished conductor of Wagner's music. So it'll be great to hear a piece on that scale here.
So when you, first of all, You said something I think our audience might like to know a little bit more about. If the TMC Orchestra itself has been regarded by many as the second best orchestra in the country. So the question, because they're so good, if people want to see that orchestra, how do they do that?
Buy a ticket. So we've got a concert Monday night in Ozawa Hall at 8, and you can get a ticket at the Ozawa Hall box office or online. So simple as that. But, you know, it's fantastic talent. It's like this sort of Camelot, you know, that orchestra comes together and exists for 2 months and then disappears. But wonderful talent. Just great to see these young musicians at the verge of important careers.
And my second question real quickly is one of the things that always astounds me about you is your ability to operate long range, but also in cases of crisis where somebody can't do it. You've got to know where everybody in the world is, every major artist is.
Yes, but one can be very lucky, Alan. Earlier this week, for instance, I referenced the Rheingold performance last week, which has a cast of about a dozen singers, and inevitably someone's going to fall ill, and one of our singers called in earlier this week and who's singing the role of Fricka with a throat injury, a bruised vocal cord. And just by absolute luck, one of the world's leading exponents of that role, Stephanie Blythe, is here with us teaching at the moment at the Tanglewood Music Centre, was scheduled to conclude her period on Tuesday. So we just asked her whether she could stay on for an extra few days. So voila, there we have one perfect solution, one of the great Frickers of our day stepping in, available for us. So one can be lucky sometimes.
Is that like Joe DiMaggio coming back one more time?
I could tell Stephanie that you made that comparison. I'll let you know how she reacts.
I'm interested in something you mentioned earlier about the initiative for the recordings and the importance that that has taken on. That seems like it has to become a balancing act because one can affect the other, but they also can work in concert with one another as well.
Well, they do literally work in concert in that we perform. Nowadays, the old days of a recording session where an orchestra or an artist assembled just to do a recording and it was all committed to tape or digital form and then edited. Those days are no longer, partly because those costs have become extraordinary, but also technology now allows you to do amazing things. So our recordings for Deutsche Grammophon, and we have this long-term amazing project of recording all 15 symphonies of Shostakovich, of which we've already committed 6 of them to disc. The performances all happen live, so we will record 3 or 4 performances and then edit together from the best of those. And digital technology nowadays is amazing. You can grab a single note from a chord in one performance and paste it into another if there's a real problem. So in our recording, we've recorded 6 of the symphonies so far, and in all of that we had one what we call a patch session of 15 minutes, which is we bring the orchestra back after the concert and just touch on a handful of spots that may not have been completely covered in any of the concerts, and we can paste those in. And so that's an amazing achievement. So in all of these the Shostakovich, we also recorded all Brahms' 4 symphonies earlier this season. We did Sibelius' 2nd, and to have only had one patch session in that, it is a testimony to the incredible playing
at
the VSO, which is in astonishing form at the moment.
So the question I have is, how do you make money? I don't mean you personally, but I mean, everybody knows that people aren't buying discs the way they were once.
More than you would think. And we're a mission-driven organization. We regard releasing commercial recordings as much as an act of capturing the artistry of the orchestra, of Andrus. But there's still significant CD sales.
And how do you sell them? Where do you sell them? Over the internet? Do you sell them in music stores? Both?
All of the above. Yeah. All of the above. There's also been a resurgence of the good old-fashioned LP. And we are thinking about having one of our Brahms symphonies pressed as an LP. there are the audiophiles who love the sound.
How about you?
I've got every LP that I've ever owned.
Really?
And I started collecting LPs when I was six.
Are they better?
Well, some of them have got a lot of crackles and pops over the years from me, you know, as a kid, knocking the turn, all of that.
But they still sound great.
So they still sound great. There's often a sense of nostalgia when you put on an LP. It takes you back to where you were at that time in life and who was you around and what you were interested in, all of those things.
Do you have one of those real fancy ones, the turntables, which can turn the record over?
No, I don't. No.
Right there. You have to do that yourself? Or do you have a person for that?
Yes.
Well, so the give us in the minute that we have left, just give us an idea of what you are working on right now and what you're excited about.
Well, to be honest, I'm working on next summer very intensely. Next summer will be a season-long celebration of the 100th birthday of Leonard Bernstein. And there will be a major celebration here, so that's taking up a lot of my thinking and planning time. But I'm just sort of overseeing what's going on here, so doing a little bit of troubleshooting, being around to oversee the production of all of our concerts, being there to enjoy them, to be with the artists, many of whom have become, like Håkan, great friends over many years. And it's to enjoy the music. You know, there's such a wealth of music this summer. It's unbelievable. Even if I say so myself.
Well, you should. Tony Fogg is the artistic administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. For more information on Tanglewood, the BSO, and his amazing work, go to tanglewood.org. Tony, thank you very much. A delight.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks, Tony.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.